Yeah. First of all, God, first of all, mazel tov to Adam. I'm making you see him. And thank you for including us from Mishtatif and all your simcha. Thank you for everyone for coming to learn. But thank you to Shui. Shui! Shkoyach! I don't know if you could hear. Shkoyach for arranging the entire, taking the achrayos to arrange this entire Suda's mitzvah. Of all of the Tanaisim that we have throughout the year, with the exception of Yom HaKippurim, all of the Tanaisim are not Midoraisa. At the same time, there is a difference, as we all know, between the way Tisha B'Av is observed as opposed to all of the other Tanaisim. What we wanted to do tonight is to explore the nature of that difference. Is it perhaps just fundamentally the same, it's just differing levels or degrees of severity, perhaps reflecting the events that took place on these days, on these different days, or perhaps Tisha B'Av is fundamentally different than all of the other Tanaisim. And the reason that we fast on the other Tanaisim is fundamentally different from the reason that we fast on Tisha B'Av. And as we'll see, there are very, important ramifications from this discussion, many of which are nogea very much halacha l'maisa on Tisha B'Av. So the Mishnah tells us in Maseches Rosh Hashanah and Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph that there are 6 months throughout the year when Beis Din would send out messengers to relay the fact that a new month had been declared in Yerushalayim. They would send messengers out during Chodesh Nisan in order to be able to observe Pesach on the proper day. They would send out messengers during the month of Elul so we should be able to observe Rosh Hashanah on the proper day, Tishrei for Yom Kippurim and Sukkot, Kislev for Chanukah, Adar for Purim, but also during Chodesh Av, in order so we should be able to observe Tisha B'Av on the proper day throughout all of the different communities. So the Gemara asks, why don't we send messengers as well to relay the fact that a new month had been declared during Chodesh Tammuz and Teves in order to observe Shavuos B'Tammuz and Asar B'Teves on the proper day? Because there are four Tanaisim that are mentioned in the same pasuk in Sefer Zechariah, where the Gemara quotes this on the third line, in the middle of the line, Koyamar Hashem Tzavakos, Tzayim HaRevi, that's the Tzayim in Chodesh Tammuz, Shavuos B'Tammuz, Tzayim HaChamishi, that's the Tzayim in Chodesh Av, Tisha B'Av, Tzayim HaShavi, that's Tzayim Gedalia, and Tzayim HaAsiri, that's found in the 10th month, that's Asar B'Teves. Tainus Esther is not found in this discussion because it's an entirely different genre of Tainus, which is meant to commemorate the Nisan that took place surrounding the Nes of Purim. However, these Tanaisim are all from the same genre, that Tanaisim of Tzar and of Elos and Tshuva, and the Navi Zechariah mentions four of them. So these four. So the Gemara asks, why don't we send messengers out, just like we send out for Chodesh Av in order to observe Tisha B'Av on the proper day, why don't we send messengers to relay the fact that a new month had been declared during Chodesh Tammuz and Teves to observe Shavuos B'Tammuz and Asar B'Teves on the proper day as well? So the Gemara asks on the fourth line, says that this is because there's a contradiction in the Pasuk. At the beginning, the Pasuk describes these 4 days as Tzoyim, Koyamar Hashem Tzavakos, Tzoyim HaRevi, days of fasting. However, at the end of the Pasuk describes them as Yihiyah LeBeis Yehuda L'Sasein U'L'Simcha, days of rejoicing and happiness. So Gemara says, which is it? Are they days of fasting or days of Sasein and Simcha? So Rav Papa, on the fourth line over here in the middle of the line, resolves, Bizman Sheyesh Shalom Yiyu L'Sasein U'L'Simcha. When there's a Shalom, presumably at the time the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, there'll be days of rejoicing and happiness. Yeshmat, if there's religious persecution, then there'll be days of Tzoyim, days of fasting. If it's Ein Shmat, Ve'ein Shalom, what if there's no religious persecution necessarily, but there's also no Shalom, the Beis HaMikdash is still in a state of destruction. So Ratzu Misanin, Ratzu Ein Misanin. These 4 days, or some of them at least, are Ratzu Misanin, Ratzu Ein Misanin. They're optional fasts. If you want to fast, you can, but you don't have to. So says the Gemara, since you don't have to fast on these days, they didn't bother sending messengers out to relay the fact that new month had been declared on Tammuz and Teves, because you don't have to fast these days. They were optional. If you want to fast, fast, but you don't have to. So therefore, they didn't bother themselves with sending messengers out. If that's the case, Frakti Gemara, Ihachi Tisha B'Av Nami. Tisha B'Av also, their Chodesh Av, why are we sending messengers out to relay the fact that Chodesh Av had been declared to observe Tisha B'Av on the proper day? It's Ratzu Misan and Ratzu Ein Misan. And you want to fast, fast, but you don't have to. It's only in the time of Shema that you have to fast. But if it ain't Shema, it ain't Shalom, then the fast is optional. You don't have to fast if you don't want to. So why do we send messengers out? So Amar Papa, shiny Tisha B'Av, however, Huchbulu by Tzaros. Tisha B'Av is different because the Tzaros, destruction, or the problems have been doubled. And Tosis explains that this refers to the Churban Beis HaMikdash, which is the greatest of all Tzaros, and in both the Korban Bayis Rishon as well as the Korban Bayis Sheni occurred on Tisha B'Av, so therefore qualitatively it's worse than the other Tzaros and that occur on the other Tanesim, and quantitatively it's worse because two happened. That's the language of Kefel, Huchbalu Bo Tzaros. So Tisha B'Av, even in the time of the Gemara, was viewed as a mandatory fast. It wasn't optional. It wasn't that you had the choice to fast if you wanted to fast or not. Rather, even in the time of the Gemara, it was already a mandatory fast. In fact, the Rambam writes in Perush HaMishnayos that even during the time of Bayis Sheni, they fasted on Tisha B'Av.
For Bayis Rishon
that was destroyed on Tisha B'Av. And this is a practice that's actually recorded in Josephus, that they had the practice of fasting on Tisha B'Av, even during the Bayis Sheni. The Tashbeit and the Chida and many other Mepharshim disagree that they couldn't possibly have fasted on Tisha B'Av during the Bayis Sheni. But this was already an established fast, whether during the Bayis Sheni or later, but already at the time of the Gemara, this was viewed as a mandatory fast. The other Tanaisim, though, was Ratzu Misanin. Ratzu Ein Misanin was optional. Time of Ein Shalom, Ein Shmat. It's no Beis HaMikdash, but it's not religious persecution. So it was an optional fast. If you wanted to fast, you could, but you didn't have to. And therefore, they didn't send Shluchim out for Tammuz and Teves to observe Shavuos B'Tammuz and Asar B'Teves on the proper day. What is the halacha nowadays? So the Ran writes that this the nature of the optional fast of these Tanesim is on an individual basis. Every individual has the right to choose what they want to do, and even though, you know, despite what the rest of the community is doing, and even though you might have fasted in the past, that doesn't obligate you to fast in the future. So therefore writes the Ran, of the Heroes Basin, establish a few hurgulu lisanois, even if you become accustomed to fasting, or the rest of the community is fasting, loya minin de shavinu alay l'chayva. It's not an obligation to fast. Therefore writes the Ran in the second line, lefi zeh ha'inna hanach tzoymois bar mitishaba b'ratzutalu. These Tanesim are optional, and they continue to be optional in our times.
Is this considered
actually in each matter? So the Ramban, good point, the Ramban addresses your issue, the Ramban disagrees, and the Ramban writes in the third line that no, first of all, this is not an individual option. This is the community has the option to do whatever they want, whether to fast or not. And once you've decided to take one position on it, you have to continue functioning with that position. So therefore, once the community has started to fast, says the Ramban, we have to continue to fast on these Tanesim. So Ramban writes, it's not up to the individual, as the Ram felt, it's up to the community. We already have accepted upon ourselves to fast on these days. An individual cannot do something different than the rest of the community. But then the Ramban continues, and this is critical. The Ramban writes, V'kol shekein b'deiris halalu. Certainly in our times, and again, keep in mind the Ramban for most of his life lived in relatively peaceful times. At the end of his life, of course, he had to run away to Eretz Yisrael. But most of his life was peaceful, relatively. But he writes, V'kol shekein b'deiris halalu. Sherei ba'avonisenu sherobu yesh gzer b'Yisrael. There's intense religious persecution. Ve'ein sholeim. Hilka chayovin hakar l'sanas midivir kapol v'takonis neviyim. Says the Ramban, not only communally have we accepted upon ourselves to fast on these days, therefore an individual can't do any different. But even more than that, says the Ramban, we're living in the time of Shmad, and therefore we have an obligation to fast based on the Pasuk and Sefer Zechariah. So it seems to emerge from this Ramban, the obligation to fast on all of the Tanesim is Midivrei Kabbalah, based on the Pasuk and Sefer Zechariah, because we live in a time of Shmad, religious persecution, and therefore the Pasuk describes these days as Tzoyim, and they should be observed as a Tanes in our time. Aside from the fact that communally we've accepted to do it. The problem is, the Ramban seems to contradict himself, because the Ramban writes in the Sefer Teres HaAdam that all of these Tanesim that we have that are not Midoraisa should be patterned after the one precedent of a Tanes that we have that is Midoraisa. What is the one Tanes that we have that's Midoraisa? Is Yom Kippurim. So therefore, says the Ramban, just like Yom Kippurim goes from night to night and includes not only that we refrain from eating, but that we refrain from all the heyinuyim, that we don't wash, we don't anoint ourselves, we don't wear shoes, we don't engage in tashmish hamita. So too, all of the other tanesim should be patterned after that one precedent of a tanes midoraisa. It should include all of these restrictions as well. It should go from night to night. All of the tanesim should have gone from night to night. They should have included not only refraining from eating, but washing, anointing, wearing shoes, and tashmish hamita. Why is it, and of course that's our practice on Tisha B'Av, but why is it that we don't do these things on the other Tanesim? So says the Ramban, the reason why is because we're not obligated to fast Medina on these days. The obligation to fast on these days is because it was Ratu Misan and Ratu Ein Misan, and there were optional fasts. Why do we fast now? Because we accept it upon ourselves as a community to fast. So it depends on our communal acceptance. So says the Rabban, communally we accepted not to fast from night to night. That would have been too much. We accepted Shavas B'Tam, Sem Gedal, and Asar B'Teves to fast from the morning, Aloy Sashachar, and to only refrain from eating, not to refrain from the Shari Nuyim, from washing, anointing, from wearing shoes, and Tashm Shamita. So says the Rabban, it depends on what we accepted as a community. And therefore, we only accepted to fast from the morning and only to refrain from eating. The problem is, the Ramban here seems to be assuming, or seems to be stating explicitly, why do we fast on these Tanesim, Shavas B'Tamas, Asar B'Teves, Tzoyim Gedalia, is because as a community we accepted to do it. However, but really, fundamentally, it's Ratu Misan and Ratu Ein Misan, and they were optional. The problem is, the Ramban just told us that we have to fast on these days because we're living in times of Shmad, Midivrei Kabbalah, based on the Pasuk and Sefer Zechariah. So if we have to fast based on the Pasuk and Sefer Zechariah, because we're living in times of Shmad, so then it shouldn't depend on what we communally devised or agreed to accept. It should depend on, they should be all patterned after the one precedent of Atanas that we have, that's Yom Kippurim. They should all go from night to night, and they should all include all the other restrictions as well, not just to refrain from eating. Interesting suggestion. Interesting. I don't know if that works out with the Torah Sodom. Interesting suggestion. However, the Rambam has this contradiction or apparent contradiction as well. So Rambam writes in Perek Hay of Hilchas Tainus Lo Chedalin, these 4 days, Mifurashim B'Kabbalah. They're explicit in the Pasuk and Sefer Zechariah. So it sounds like you're obligated to fast on these 4 days, Shavas B'Tamas, Asar B'Teves, Tisha B'Av, and Tzoyim Gedaliah, because the Pasuk is Sefer Zechariah. However, then the Rambam writes, on the third line, V'nogu kol Yisrael b'zmanim eilu l'sanois. We have the minhag to fast. Sounds like it was something that we accepted as a community to do, but it wasn't based on the Pasuk and Divrei Kabbalah. So again, this tension seems to exist. So if Shernbach quotes in the name of the Brisker Rav, who explained that the Pasuk and Sefer Zechariah is not instituting or imposing a tainus on Shavas B'Tamuz, on Tzoyim Gedalia, and Asar B'Teves. What the Pasuk and Sefer Zechariah was saying is that in times of Shmad, the community should accept upon themselves to fast on these days. Sometimes communities don't know what to do in difficult times, and we struggle to figure out what exactly our reaction should be. So the Navi Zechariah is telling us, what you should do is fast on these days. Communally accept upon yourself to fast on these days. But it was not implemented based on the Pasuk and Sefer Zechariah. He never imposed the tainus on these days. Rather, it was something that we communally accepted. So therefore, says the Ramban, we were obligated to communally accept to do it based on the Pasuk and Divrei Kabbalah. But in the end of the day, the bottom line, the reason why we're fasting on these days is because communally we accepted to do so. And communally, says the Ramban, we only accepted not to fast from night to night, to fast starting in the morning, and only to accept upon ourselves the restriction of refraining from eating, not the other Shari Nuyim.
You have a lot of tenets from the morning of the time. It's a lot of rain.
Those are different things that occurred. So this is mentioned in the Pasuk and Sefer Zechariah.
Same thing as Zechariah. It's the same idea. They only find a Shmad. You have a Tzori, you fast. So why is there more Choshev?
Because Zechariah singled out these days. But in the end of the day, it's just based on a communal acceptance to do it. It's not based on an obligation. What?
Once he accepted, then that fast.
No, it never has the authority of Divrei Kabbalah. It remains a minog. And therefore, it depends on how we accepted to do it. We only accepted to do it from the night, and we only accepted to refrain from eating. Interestingly enough, it is the Mishnah Berurah writes, and some confuse this, the Mishnah Berurah writes that a Baal Nefesh should be machmir himself on all Tanesim to start from, Asar B'Teves, Shavas B'Tamuz, and Tzoyim Gedalia, to start at the night and refrain from the Shari Nuyim as well, because that was, we could have accepted to do these things on all the Tanesim, so Baal Nefesh should be machmir by all of the Tanesim to not wash, not take showers, to start at night. However, again, the Ramban says communally, we only accept upon ourselves to start in the morning, and we only to refrain from eating. And even though these days are singled out by the Pasuk and Sefer Zechariah, he never imposed the tainus on these days. It's all based on the communal agreement and acceptance of what we accepted upon ourselves.
Is the Rambam or also the Ramban?
Both.
Oh, yeah?
No, he explained the Rambam. Sternberg applies it to this Ramban.
Where does the concept of Mishnah Berurah come from?
It was it was possible to accept all of these things based on the precedent of Yom Kippurim. But we didn't. But since it was possible, these things were, I mean, the Ramban says that's what we should have done, but we assess that that would be too onerous on the community, so therefore, if Baal Nefesh wants to do it, you can do it. It all depends what you accepted. You could accept to start at night. Most people, when they accept the Tainus, only start in the morning. But that was only based on what we accepted to do upon ourselves. The Ramban says the only paradigm we have for a Tainus is Yom Kippur, which starts at night, night to night, and Hei Yinuyim. Anything else is what we communally concocted.
What's the template for that? None.
That's what the Ramban says. It's that's why Baal Nefesh, Mimachmer, and himself to do like what we should have been done. Oh, so now that's the question. So the Gemara says, Shani Tishbav. Yeah. So the Gemara says, Tishbav is different. However, Hukbulu Boitzaris. So the Aruch Lener has a suffix, a very critical distinction. What is the reason that we're Machmer and Tishbav? Why is Tishbav different? Is Tishbav different because, it's a varying degrees of severity, even though on the other Tanesim, we only accept it upon ourselves to start in the morning and to refrain from eating, not the other restrictions. But on Tisha B'Av, which they accepted in an earlier time, already in the times of the Gemara, this was viewed as a mandatory fast. It was clearly accepted earlier. So there they accepted it differently. And they accepted to fast, perhaps like what should have been done, based on the paradigm of Yom Kippurim. They start to fast at night. And they accepted all the other restrictions as well, to refrain from washing, anointing, wearing shoes and Tashmi Shamita. But it's just varying degrees of severity, but they're fundamentally the same. Or perhaps, no, perhaps Tisha B'Av is different, that here, the Navi Zechariah did implement and establish, he did impose a tainus on the day of Tisha B'Av. Perhaps what the Gemara is indicating to us is that Tisha B'Av was never optional at any point in time. It's not that they accepted it earlier with different parameters. It was never optional. It was never Ratzu Masan and Ratzu Masan. And the Navi Zechariah, after the Korban Bayis Rishon, established this day as a mandatory tainus. And the Aruch Haner claims, huh?
Is that what the Gemara says?
It's unclear. So why not Tisha B'Av? Yeah. So what does that mean? Does that mean the Navi Zechariah imposed the tainus on this day midivrei Kabbalah? Or does that mean when Klal Yisrael accepted upon themselves, we accepted it earlier and we accepted it with more stringent parameters? But it really all depends on our communal acceptance, or perhaps no. Here, what the Gemara is saying is Navi Zechariah imposed the tainus. So our Chaner has this suffix. Yeshus topic. Im kavanas rapapa kemet shukhbu lo tzaris betisha bav loy toli berotzoin mesanin. Doesn't depend on what we communally accept. El yeshkiv lesanis midivrei Kabbalah. Here, it was imposed by Zechariah. Maybe it depends on what we accepted. Here, we accepted it earlier. And even though we didn't accept at that time, Shabbat Batamas, Tzom Gedalia, Sar B'Teves, we'd already accepted upon ourselves and made it mandatory to fast on Tisha B'Av, but it depends on what we communally accepted. So the Aruch Haner claims that this is, in fact, Machlokes Rishonim. Rashi and Megillah claims, or seems to imply, that the whole optional component over here was only by Shavuot B'Tam, Sar B'Teves, and Tzom Gedalia, but Tisha B'Av was never optional. That's Midivrei Kabbalah, and that's what the Tur seems to write over here, Ois Vav, that the obligation to fast on Yom Kippurim is Midoraisa, on Tisha B'Av is Midivrei Kabbalah, based on the enactment of Zechariah. However, then the Aruch Haner quotes the opinion of the Ritva, and perhaps the opinion of the Rambam, that all of them depend. The Rambam said, V'nagu kol Yisrael b'zmanim elu l'sanois. We accepted upon ourselves to fast on these days, and he includes Tisha B'Av together in that list. So it seems to be based on what we communally accepted upon ourselves. And indeed, this issue seems to be a machlekes rishonim, perhaps machlekes achrainim, in how we should pass it with regards to a person who's not feeling well on Tisha B'Av. The Shulchan Aruch tells us over here, in Hilchos Tisha B'Av, chayle oizayin, person who's not well, shu tzarech lecho, he has to eat. Ein tzarech oimed, we don't have to assess his condition. El machlin oso miyad, you feed him right away. Debemakom chayli loigazu rabbanon. When a person's not well on Tisha B'Av, the fast does not exist, was never established, accepted with regards to this individual, and therefore he's exempted, he doesn't have to fast. In fact, not only is he permitted to eat, Brisker Rav quotes the name of Reb Chaim, that a chayle who is machmer on himself, who has a heter to eat, but he fasts on Tisha B'Av nonetheless, is not in fulfillment of the tainus of Tisha B'Av. He might as well have fasted on any other random run-of-the-mill Tuesday. He's no kiyum of fasting on Tisha B'Av, because Tisha B'Av was never established vis-a-vis a chayla. Doesn't exist for a chayla. What type of chayla are we discussing? So the Mishnah Berurah writes, even a chayla she'ein by sakana. Chayla she'ein by sakana is not a person who's in any life-threatening situation. He's a person who can, you know, either bedridden or he can't do what he would normally be able to do. He has to curtail his activities somewhat, like a person who's bedridden. Already he's exempted from fasting on Tisha B'Av, and the Brisker Rav says if he's machmir himself to fast, like he's fasting on a regular Tuesday. So now this would seem to indicate that the obligation to fast on Tisha B'Av is a communal acceptance, like a takanas chazal, a din midrabanan. And just like every other din midrabanan that's permitted for a chayla she'ein by sakana, like he's allowed to ask a nachri to do a malacha for him on Shabbos, he's allowed to eat machos asuris midrabanan. So this would fit into the general pattern of isur midrabanan vis-a-vis a chayla she'ein by sakana, that he would be exempt. And from the language of the Ramban, b'makam chayli le'gazi rabanan, sounds like we never accepted the tainis for a chayla, any chayla, even a chayla she'ein bo sakana. However, the Taz disagrees, and if you already look in the Ramah writes on the third line, Umiu noegan lesanos kol zman she'ein len tsar godol she'elokish sakana. That the minig is to be more machmir than that, and a person should fast even if he's uncomfortable until he's a chashash sakana, until there's there's a life-threatening situation, of course, allowed to break his fast. So the Taz understood the opinion of the Ramah to be disagreeing. That the opinion of the Ramah is that that the fast of Tisha B'Av is not an enactment midrabanan, the community we accepted upon ourselves to fast on these days. Rather, it was imposed by Zechariah, it's midivrei Kabbalah. And if you want to violate the divrei Kabbalah, you have to be a chayla sheyesh b'sakan, in a life-threatening situation, perhaps comparable to Yom HaKippurim. And the Taz disagreeing that it's midivrei Kabbalah, and therefore you can't say begakam chayli legazu rabbanan. It's not an enactment midrabanan; it was imposed by Zechariah Novi, and should apply even to a chayla, unless a person chayla sheyes b'sakana, then he'd have a dispensation to eat. For violating a divrei Kabbalah, there's no malchus for violating a divrei Kabbalah. No, but it's treated more severely. It's more carries more authority than a din midrabanan. You're saying b'mezid? I don't know why you want to know. I guess Marcus Mardus. Marcus Mardus, I suppose, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but that's midrabanan Malchus, yeah.
So, but it's practical, right? Whether it's every Kabbalah.
Well, we don't administer Malchus nowadays, but yeah, I guess
it
did. Yes, of course. Oh, does it make a difference? No.
Why?
Because there's no greater punishment for Divrei Kabbalah. You can't get Malchus midrabanan for Divrei Kabbalah.
Well, no, but it depends on whether it's.
Interesting. Maybe. But let's try and come up with an afkamina that might be relevant in our times. At the end of the day, bottom line, in a practical sense, the Ramah writes, by the way, Hameko loy hifsid. Hameko loy hifsid. If a person is lenient, he hasn't lost out, and the Mishnah Berurah therefore writes that a person is a chayla she'ein by sakana ain't kedai la'achmer. We should not practice like this Ramah. The Ramah already told us not to follow this position, and therefore the minig is, that's the minig by most, that's the psak of the Mishnah Berurah, the Aruch HaShulchan, the Avnei Nezer, is that a chayla she'ein by sakana is allowed to break his fast even more than that. The Brisker Rav felt if you are a machmer and fast on Tisha B'Av, it's as if you didn't fast on Tisha B'Av, you might as well fast it on a random run-of-the-mill day. At the same time, this issue seems to revolve around how we should view the fast of Tisha B'Av. Is it something we accept upon ourselves to do midrabanan, in which case it never applied to a chayla? Or perhaps it's a midivrei Kabbalah, in which case you could have argued, at least in theory, that it should apply even to a chayla she'ein bo sakana. Another issue that seems to revolve around this point is the Bir Halacha writes that if a chayla has to eat on Tisha B'Av, he should try and minimize his eating. He should eat pachos mikashir, just like we would do on Yom Kippur, you know, like the shot glasses every 9 minutes. So too, the Bir Halacha says a person should do on Tisha B'Av. The Chassam Sofer has a similar thing in his Shuvos, that if a person could just relieve his illness by drinking, so he should just drink rather than eating and drinking. He should minimize the eating as much as possible. Just like we would do on Yom Kippur.
Do you have to do
Teshulamin
for the
fast? No, Chayla doesn't have to do Teshulamin, no. So, but you should minimize your eating as much as possible. And their assumption seems to be that this fast applies to a Chayla, but he has a heter to eat. So therefore, if you can minimize your eating as much as possible, you should do so. So if Zhalti writes in the Sefer Mishnah Siyavitz, the same is found in the collection of Tshuvas called the Orchis Chaim Sepinka. It has nothing to do with Sepinka Rebbe, it was just printed in Sepinka. So in this collection of the Tshuvas Orchis Chaim, as well as of Zhalti, they both argue, this is assuming that the fast of Tisha B'Av is midivrei Kabbalah. However, as we said, our practice seems to reflect the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch, The Ramah said, "Ameik aloy hifsid," that a chayla doesn't fast on Tisha B'Av. So we seem to assume that the fast of Tisha B'Av is not midivrei Kabbalah, just like the other Tanaisim that Zechariah didn't impose a tainus upon us midivrei Kabbalah. Rather, identified these days that B'Shas Hashmad we should accept upon ourselves to fast. So too Tisha B'Av as well, we accept it upon ourselves to fast. Just on Tisha B'Av, we accepted, you know, from the beginning of the night, we accepted the other restrictions as well, not only to not eat, but not to wash, not to anoint ourselves, or choose to engage in Tashmish Amita, but fundamentally, it's a Dimid Rabbanan. So, just like the Shulchan Aruch told us, that B'Makom Chayli Le'gazi Rabbanan, so too, if a person is a Chayla on Tisha B'Av, he has a heter to eat, even a Chayla She'en B'Zakon, he doesn't have to minimize his eating as much as possible. And the Paiskim do say, and this is important, that's only if a person is a chayla now. He's actively presenting as a chayla. What if he won't, you know, he knows if he'll fast, he will become a chayla, but he's not a chayla right now. So then Dr. Abraham quotes in the name of Shlomo Zalman, he should wait till he becomes a chayla. You don't have a heter necessarily to eat right now. When you become a chayla, then he'd have a chayla she'en b'sakana, meaning he's not feeling well in a significant way, then he would be allowed to break his fast at that point. But he should at least start fasting. That's l'kulu choladeus. He's not a chayla yet. When he becomes a chayla, then he'll have a hetter to fast. Break his fast. So, however, the opinion of the Taz was, and this is all assuming that the fast of Tisha B'Av is because we communally accepted upon ourselves to fast, that is the parameters of a regular Dimid Rabbanan. The Taz argued, as we said, he claimed it was the opinion of the Ramah, that Tisha B'Av is different than the other Tanaisim. They're not a communal acceptance. Rather, it was a midivrei Kabbalah that the Zechariah imposed these fasts. And therefore, he argued, you should try and minimize your eating, and perhaps there's no heter for a chayla she'en b'sakana. So the Taz has a raya, a proof to his position, perhaps from a Gemara Mesechtes Psachim. The Gemara tells us Mesechtes Psachim, over here, Ois Tes, that an uberes, a pregnant woman, is obligated to fast on Tisha B'Av. So from the fact that the Gemara goes out of its way to tell us that a pregnant woman has to fast on Tisha B'Av, what does that imply about the other Tanaisim? About Shavasa B'Tamuz, about Tzoyim Gedalia, Sar B'Teves, that implies that she doesn't have to fast. And in fact, that's what the Beis Yosef is medayik from the language of the Gemara, and that's the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch over here, Siman Tav Kuf Nun Dalet Siv Dalet, that a pregnant woman only has to fast on Tisha B'Av, but in the other Tanaisim, a pregnant woman does not even have to begin fasting. She doesn't have to fast at all. They never accepted these Tanaisim vis-a-vis a pregnant woman. Huh? That every pregnant woman is a chayla she'en b'sakana, so then Tisha B'Av also. But every pregnant woman is not a chayla she'en b'sakana. They're pregnant women who work till every pregnant woman who's 40 days pregnant is already a chayla she'en b'sakana. I want to be empathetic, I mean, but that's, you know, it seems to... taking empathy a little too far. And they're not chayla she'en b'sakana. No. Why should they be a chayla she'en b'sakana? It's because when they formulated, when they accepted upon themselves this fast, they never accepted it vis-a-vis, again, all the other Tanaisim, Shavas B'Tamas, Asar B'Teves, Tzayim Gedalia, only because fundamentally a Ratzu Misan and Ratzu Ein Misan are optional, but we accepted upon ourselves to fast. We never accepted it vis-a-vis a pregnant woman, whereas Tisha B'Av, pregnant women do have to fast. Practically speaking, many Paiskim feel nowadays, according to the name of Shlomo Zalman, that since it's very hot on Tisha B'Av and there's a fear that they become dehydrated, dehydration, of course, is a chayla she'yesh b'sakana, is a life-threatening illness, and because of the growing occurrence, propensity of preterm labor, which itself is also viewed as a chayla she'yesh b'sakana, if a woman is dehydrated, could lead to preterm labor. So therefore, Shlomo Zalman felt that many pregnant women, at least, if there's a fear of preterm labor or a fear of dehydration, which would be allowed not to fast on Tisha B'Av as well. Rabbi Eliashiv felt that we shouldn't issue a carte blanche heter for all pregnant women like we do on the other Tanaisim. Rather, we should take it on a case-by-case basis. My position is that every pregnant woman, can, if they eat enough before Tisha B'Av begins, can get through the first few hours of the fast, at least the night of Tisha B'Av. And in the morning, we could assume they're ready, a chayla she'en b'sakana, and they could break their fast in the morning.
Is it possible to say that she herself is not a
chayla,
she's fine, but with
respect
to the child beside her, that...
Why is a child a chayla?
You don't eat for 24 hours, maybe there's a negative effect on
it. Okay. Not a chayla,
it's different thing.
Fine, so when she becomes a chayla, but by Shavas B'Tamuz, she doesn't have to begin. She doesn't have to wait for herself to become a chayla. Right away, she's given a get-out-of-tinus free card, right? So, but on Tisha B'Av, I don't think that should be the case. I think she should start fasting when she becomes a chayla already. I think in the morning, She's already be.
Go to the basement to get ID.
So she doesn't have to do that. She already start. She could break her fast. But why is it says the Taz that Tisha B'Av is treated differently than the other Tanaisim? So the Taz said must be that it's because Tisha B'Av is me different Kabbalah. So you have to wait. We don't give a blanket dispensation for all pregnant women like we do by the other Tanaisim. Tisha B'Av is different. It's me divrei Kabbalah. It's not based on the communal acceptance what we accepted to do. So if we'll argue like we seem to be arguing that practically we think that a chayla she'ein bo sakon is allowed to eat on Tisha B'Av and they don't have to minimize as much as they're eating, what we'll have to argue with the proof of the Taz is that no, that just like on Tisha B'Av, we communally accepted upon ourselves to start fasting from the night already, and we communally accepted upon ourselves to include the other restrictions as well, not only not eating, but not washing, not anointing, not wearing shoes, and not engaging in tashmish amita. So too, we included pregnant women as well. It's a difference in the degree of severity, even though we didn't include them in the other Tanaisim. We'll have to give some sort of a teret along those lines.
Once the chol is allowed to eat, would he also be allowed to engage in the other things that are forbidden?
On Tisha B'Av?
Yeah.
No. No. The tinus doesn't apply to him, but the day continues to the day continues to apply. The Taz has one other proof to his position, and that's from the Gemara in Masechtas Tainus. The Gemara tells in Masechtas Tainus, if you flip the page to Oisud Beis, the Gemara tells us when does the tinus conclude? It concludes at Shkias Hachama. Kol Tainus Lo Shakol Hachama Lo Yishmei Tainus. But once the sun is set, already the tinus has been concluded. What is meant by the Gemara's Shkias Hachama, when the sun sets? So Taisus has two opinions about this. First opinion in Taisus is that it refers to literally when the sun sets. That's when the fast is concluded. And that's the opinion of the Rosh himself. The Shabbos, other Rishonim, the fast concludes at sunset when the sun dips below the horizon. Then Taisus quotes another opinion.
When it begins to set?
No, when the ball of the sun dips below the horizon. Then Taisus quotes another opinion, Lashon Shaka Rotelema Shaka Legamre. That's Tesa Kechavim. That's when the fast is concluded, and that's echoed by other Rishonim as well. How do we paskin in Shulchan Aruch? So we paskin, Kol Tanish Lo Shaka Levachama Dahainu Tesa Kechavim. When is the fast concluded? A fast is concluded at Tesa Kechavim, like the second opinion in Taisus. Ramosha writes, ideally you should fast till 50 minutes after the Shkia, but if a person is a Chayla, he could break his fast a little earlier, whenever your shita is by Tetzel Kachavim, which is an entirely different discussion, different shitas about when Tetzel Kachavim is. But it sounds like from the Shulchan Aruch, the fair should be concluded at Tetzel Kachavim. The Aruch HaShulchan disagrees, and he says, look, a whole host of Rishonim felt that the fair should be concluded at Shkias HaChama. That's what the Gemara said, when the ball of the sun dips below their eyes, V'amish Shekein Kosvu, HaMardachai, V'arash V'arash Atzmai, the Rosh himself says, Aruch HaShulchan, and Shabbos writes, and Rabbeinu Yaina, that Bein HaShemashos is allowed. After the ball of the sun dips below the horizon, even though it's still Bein HaShemashos, but between Shkias HaCham and Tzitzik HaKavim, you're allowed to start eating. And says the Aruch HaShulchan, Lefi Zeh Nirogni Yazdaiti, Da Soymech HaRabo Yisedu Eile Lisanos Rak Ad Bein HaShemashos, Ein Maznichan Oysay, we should not reject him, we shouldn't berate him. Rather, the Aruch HaShulchan says he has legitimate positions to rely upon. And the Sfas Emes argues in Masechtas Tainus, this is how we should paskin. Because Bein HaShemashos, Rabbeisai, is a Sufik Yom, Sufik Laila. We're not sure if it's day or if it's night. So even if it's the fast concludes at the end of the day, when it's Laila, Bein HaShemashos is a Sufik Yom, Sufik Laila. So we, and all these Tanesim, Shavas B'Tamos, Asar B'Teves, Tzom Gedalia, our Midra Banan, communally accepted upon ourselves, we should say, Sufik the Rabbanon Lakula. It's a very strong argument why to already break your fast at Bein HaShemashos, Shkias HaChama. Shabbos is Deiraisa. Perhaps he says every day differently. You're saying we have to either decide Bein HaShemashos the whole year, Shabbos, everything else, it's one lock, stock, and barrel, day or night, let's make a decision. Or maybe it's inherently a suffix. We can't decide day or night, we have to pick teams every day. Is it day or is it night? And we'll pick, and maybe with regards to issues derabana, which is a suffix derabana lakula, with regards to issues deraisa, which is suffix deraisa lachumra. But what is... Okay, you could make that argument. The Sfas Emes says Bein HaShemashos is inherently a suffix. She used to say suffix derabanan lekula. And the Aruch HaShulchan says, by the way, many Rishonim held to own the Takana was only to fast Lo Shkias HaChama. So there are many who held that you should only fast until Shkiz HaChama. Again, that's not our practice. This does come up, Lamaisa, though, perhaps an interesting scenario. The Gemara tells them, Masechta Shabbos, that Shkiz HaChama depends for every person, depending on the day, wherever he finds himself, at whatever elevation he happens to be at. The Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos that a person is praiseworthy who accepts Shabbos upon himself in Tveria, and he, at the end of Shabbos, he's in Tzipori. Gemara Masechta Shabbos, Daf Kuf Yud Ches. Why? So Rashi explains, because Tveria is located low down, low elevation, and there's mountains around it. So when the sun sets, it sets behind the mountains, which means it sets early, because when you see the sun set, it sets below, dips below the horizon, below the mountains, that's pretty early, because you're at a low elevation. However, Tzipori is at a higher elevation, so in which case the sun is going to set later. So if you're in Tveria at the beginning of Shabbos, and Tzipori at the end of Shabbos, you'll bring in Shabbos early, and Shabbos will go out late. Shabbos depends, you see from this Gemara, says Radvaz, depends on wherever a person finds himself, what elevation he finds himself, that's what Shkiyas HaChama is for him for that day. So therefore, says Rav Moshe, let's say a person finds himself in a tinus flying on an airplane, and he's flying east, away from the sun. The sun rises in the east, sets in the west. So he's flying away from the sun. That means the tinus is going to end, the Shkiyas HaChama will be earlier. So says Rav Moshe, the fast ends for him earlier. Shkiyas HaChama depends, earlier than, let's say he leaves New York and flies east, the fast will end for him earlier than it will in New York, even though he began the fast in New York, because the Shkiyas HaChama depends wherever you find yourself at that moment in time, whatever elevation. What if a person is flying west? The fast is going to get longer, because he's flying with the sun. So Rav Moshe claims, again, it should depend where you are, the fast is longer for you. Where you, the Shkiyas HaChama depends, every person where he is at that moment in time, and what elevation he's at. However, in the Sefer Nachal Eshko, which is a commentary in the Sefer Eshko, one of the Rishonim, Nachal Eshko was an Achron, though, he quotes that the practice was in Stockholm. Stockholm is the capital of Sweden, but it's located pretty high north. So the sun set, rises pretty early, Alois HaShachar is pretty early, and the sun sets very late, 10 o'clock around Shavuot B'Tamuz time. So there, minhag was, it quotes in the Sefer Nachal Eshko, to always end the fast 9:30. That's it. 9:30, Shain Genug, enough. Fast was over. Wow. How could it be such a thing? How could you justify such a minhag? So in the Sefer Mikrei Kodesh from Tzipesach Frank, there's footnotes by Rav Yosef Kohn. So in the footnotes of Rav Yosef Kohn, he suggests that perhaps the reason was, again, because the fast of Shavuos B'Tamuz, B'Teves didn't have this problem with Tzim Gedalia. Shavuos B'Tamuz in the summer, so the sun rises pretty early and sets pretty late. So it all depends on what we communally accepted upon ourselves. It wasn't imposed by Zechariah Navi. Initially, these fasts were optional, so whatever we accepted upon ourselves. So we as a community never accepted upon ourselves to fast for 20 hours. We accepted upon ourselves to fast for 16 hours, 17 hours, 20 hours. We never accepted upon ourselves. So 9:30, enough already. That's enough. We never accepted upon ourselves more than that. So therefore, writes Rav Vosner, perhaps, even though that's not the practice in Stockholm today, and in the northern parts of the UK, I don't believe that's the practice either. However, Rav Vosner writes in the Shevet Alevi, if a person is flying west on a tinus, the fast is like never ending. It's never, you're going to keep flying with the sun. So at some point, you might cross the dateline and get some relief, but you could. If you're flying from Eretz Yisrael and flying west, the dateline is further. So you could, the time could continue and continue. So Rav Vosner writes, perhaps at least in that situation, we could rely not on this kula. He's not willing to go with the kula of Stockholm syndrome, that once 18 hours pass, enough. But he's willing to say at least at the Shkiyas HaChama, that's enough. We could rely on the Aruch HaShulchan together with the meaning of Stockholm and break your fast already at Shkiyas HaChama. What about Tisha B'Av, though? So Tisha B'Av, this is not the case. Tisha B'Av, look back at Ois Tes. The Gemara says, Tisha B'Av, Bein HaShemashos Shaloi Oser. Why is Bein HaShemashos of Tisha B'Av any different than the Bein HaShemashos of the other Tanesim? Why is it different? So it says the Taz must be, because this does not depend on communal acceptance where we have the right to say, who's optional, and whatever we accepted, Shkiyas HaChama, says the Gachavim, maybe Bein HaShemashos is suffering the Rabbanon Lekula. Says the Taz, it's because Tisha B'Av is Midivrei Kabbalah, was imposed by Zechariah Navi. And therefore, suffering Divrei Kabbalah is Lechumra. It does depend upon what we accepted upon ourselves. However, so that's a pretty strong argument. However, the Avnei Nezer has an unbelievable terrace, but this will conclude. The Avnei Nezer explains, he says, no, you know why it's different? Fundamentally, he says, we already said we pass in Tisha B'Av is a din midrabanan like all the other tanaisim. Just it's a greater degree of severity. We accept it upon ourselves more on Tisha B'Av than the other tanaisim, and that's why a chayle could break his fast. He doesn't have to minimize his eating as much as possible. Why is it then that on Tisha B'Av Bein Hashmashos is more, it's clearly us as opposed to the other tanaisim? So Amnenezer says, because the other tanaisim, there's only one Bein Hashmashos, along the line of Adam argument. There's only one Bein Hashmashos. So we could say, we don't know. If it's Safek Yom, Safek Laila, maybe it's night. And say Safek Rabbanu Kula, let's assume it's night. We could break our fast already, Shkia Zachama. On Tisha B'Av, there's two Bein Hashmashos, two periods. There's at the beginning of the fast, the end of the fast. Which way is Lakula? Is it Lakula to assume it's night? No, because that means the fast starts earlier. Is it Lakula to assume it's day, and that way the fast starts later? No, because then the fast is going to end early. We don't know which way is Lakula, which way is Lakumra. So therefore, since we can't decide unequivocally which way is Lakula, which way is Lakumra, at the beginning of the fast, assuming that it's day is Lakula, at the end of the fast, assuming that it's night is Lakula, since we don't know which way is Lakula, we have to be machmir on both ends of the fast, and that's why Bein Hashmashos of Tisha B'Av is Aser. However, in a practical, real way, I think because of this discussion, though again, we're machmir and other Tanaisim during Bein Hashmashos too, if a person is a chayla and other Tanaisim, it's good to know, ready at Bein Hashmashos, many hold you can break your fast. That's why even though on the other Tanaisim, I'm in favor of davening early, and let's say before the Tanis is over and people will go home and break their fast at home, on Tisha B'Av it really shouldn't be done. Because if a person makes a mistake and goes home and thinks, people think once Marav happens in Shul that already the Tanis is over. So if on the other Tanaisim they make that mistake, it's all right. Our Chashuch and Hell, they could break their fast anyway. But the other Tisha B'Av is a bigger issue, so that's why I think we should probably wait to Daven Marav until when the fast is already over. Okay. Shui.
Rabbi, what about the places? I gotta go to Lawrence.